This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Our weekend show has been working on a project with the BBC World Service for the past couple of months, trying to find the answer to this question. How do you make it in this global economy? They've been to China and Nigeria and Germany trying to figure it out, and we'll have a couple of stories from here in the States in a couple of weeks. Today, though, we go to India. 9 out of 10 workers there, better than 90%, work in what's called the informal economy. Cooks and drivers and maids and street vendors. People who get paid in cash doing jobs that could evaporate at a moment's notice. So, to answer the question again, how do you make it in a global economy? From Delhi, Marketplace's David Weinberg explains.
Sri Ram sells papaya. He has a small wooden cart, 5 feet by 3 feet, and his business is simple. He buys papaya from a wholesaler and sells them to individuals in a neighborhood market. But in 2010, something happened that altered the course of Sriram's life. That year, India hosted the Commonwealth Games. Ram and the other vendors who sold in the market near the stadium were told by the Municipal Corporation of Delhi, the MCD, that they would be temporarily removed from their location, but they could come back after the games were over. But after the games, the MCD said Ram and the other vendors' licenses had been canceled.
So what happened was they went to the MCD to take up this issue that why our licenses have been cancelled. So those people told them that to keep coming. They kept telling them that, okay, fine, we'll tell you tomorrow. And finally they told them, fine, we'll give you your land back. You just have to pay 1 lakh in bribe.
The bribe that the MCD demanded of 100,000 rupees was at the time about $2,000. Just to put that in context, Sriram makes about $1,600 a year selling papaya.
So these guys all got together and they collected 30,000 rupees. So when they gave them 30,000 rupees, they made a form addressed to the police saying these guys are legal vendors. Let them sit there and let them sell their food.
And at first, they were allowed back into the market. But when the vendors failed to raise the additional 70,000 rupees for the bribe, the authorities bulldozed their stalls. And because Sriram and many of the other vendors also lived on site, they lost their homes. Stories like this one are common among street vendors in India, according to NASFI, the National Association of Street Vendors of India. NASFI has roughly 500,000 dues-paying members. It has succeeded in having legislation passed. It provides low-interest loans to members, offers training, and organizes street food festivals with the Ministry of Tourism. It also helps vendors fight extortion. In other words, it creates a safety net for these informal workers. Here's Arvind Singh, the head of NASFI.
You talk to any vendor on the way, you know, they'll say they'll give to police, they give to municipality, they will give to traffic, they will give to the shopkeeper, they will give to anybody and everybody, you know, whoever gets an opportunity extorts money.
So how do you stop a situation like that?
One is definitely the organizing. If they're organized, that acts as a deterrent, you know.
And organizing is exactly what Sriram and the other vendors did. After their homes and businesses were bulldozed, they met with a prominent lawyer who offered to take their case pro bono. Right now, there is a stay that allows the vendors to sell at the market until the court reaches a verdict. And this whole experience, it changed Ram. He became an organizer. On a recent afternoon, Sriram took the day off to take me on a tour of Delhi to visit several of his fellow NASFI members, people he has helped. He led us into an East Delhi market through narrow passageways lined with stalls offering fruits and vegetables, pots and pans, fabrics, toys. At an intersection of two footpaths, we stopped at a small food stall. Only the tops of the cooks' heads were visible from behind giant pyramids of noodles and shredded cabbage, all of it glowing from the light coming through the bright yellow tarp that serves as the roof.
My name is Suresh.
I started my business out of a cart, and then I started investing a little more in my business, and then I put up a shop, and now I have a much bigger scale of operations.
Suresh's is what you might call a street vendor success story. He started small with a single dish he sold from a cart. Today, he has this shop with 3 tables and a full menu that includes traditional Indian dishes and Chinese food. On one wall of the shop is a certificate that Suresh pulled down to show me.
So the Ministry of Tourism, along with NASFI, organized this workshop where they certify you for street vending purposes and they give you skills like how would you budget, etc., etc. So this is a certification for that.
Suresh now has 10 employees. he makes a profit of 800 to 1,000 rupees, about $15 a day. It's pretty good wages in India. But Suresh still does not consider himself middle class, though he has been able to give his kids something he never had, an education. They're getting master's degrees, and he expects they will make it into India's middle class. This sleep is crucial for the 92% of workers who exist outside the formal economy. They have no insurance and no pensions, and their businesses could cease to exist at any moment. Economist Jayashree Sengupta says if India's economy is to rise, it will have to create economic stability for people like Suresh, who are migrating from rural villages to cities so they can become a part of the consumer class, which, because India's population is so huge, has the potential to be the internal engine that drives the economy.
It's no point in, you know, depending on the export growth. We have a huge market of 1.2 billion people. So why not produce for the country?
And it's organizations like NASFI that have taken on the role of building the safety net needed to make that huge market a reality. In Delhi, I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.